This may have been like the heaviest episode we've done.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, yeah. I'm over thinking like, damn, DJ about to cry over here. I don't know if they get emotional.
I was like, traumatized, guy. I was like, let me just let him.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and world traveler extraordinaire, Deej Dollars. DJ.
Oh, man.
You are back from outer space. One of my favorite songs, I Will Survive.
Who sings that?
Gloria Gaynor. And now I'm back from outer space.
Okay.
That's where I got that from.
One of your favorite songs?
It's fire.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm flattered nonetheless. Nonetheless.
You've been gone for a minute. That's why we've been gone for a minute.
Yeah, how long has it been? 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
It's been about 2 weeks.
Okay, it's not that long.
But we're not leaving y'all hanging, but we're just trying to give you some context.
As to why we have
been gone, my co-host has been doing a little traveling.
Yeah, I was just following your footsteps. I believe you went on a similar trip not too long ago.
You say that, but low-key? It was a long-ass time ago, low-key.
Oh, yeah?
Time is crazy, yo. Time is some wild shit.
Amsterdam?
2015.
Oh, shit.
Right?
4 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to go back.
Yeah, man.
You probably have more bikes.
Probably.
Did you go to Paris while you went as well?
I did.
Oh, they're on the same trip?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you went, did you go to
DJ went to Amsterdam, y'all, in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, blessed enough to be able to do that. For the people of the target demo of this podcast, they're familiar with these type of places and may be able to scrape together enough coins
so,
to go.
So it's not a flex.
I mean, it's a mild flex, especially with the traveling accommodations that are prevalent now.
It's good. It's good casual conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Norwegian has changed the game. Their country, the government subsidized their flights, and they made a big impact on the transatlantic flight market. I'm sorry, I flubbed on that.
And also the Caribbean market. I'm trying to go to Martinique.
You can use Norwegian to go to
it? Yeah, really cheap.
Oh, shit, it's lit.
It's like $80.
Like, yeah, so, damn. so they've actually caused their competitors to lower their prices, and if not do that, develop subsidiary airlines that are able to be competitive with Norwegian's prices. So, long story short, it's feasible to go from a place like New York to Europe rather easily, for better or worse. I only say for worse because...
Yeah, your trip was for better.
Yeah, it's always for better. I'm not trying to be too Euro-specific, Eurocentric in my travels, but one thing or another led me there this time. But yeah, see the whole world, though.
See sure. The whole world, people. Don't be limited.
Yeah, but last time you went, did you visit the Eiffel Tower?
I did.
Did they have all the security protocols under there?
Not that I remember. I remember sort of just people hanging around, people selling fake shit outside, all that whole thing.
Okay, lit, like little figurines. And,
yeah.
Okay. So you're able to just walk under it, walk around it?
Pretty much, I believe so.
Okay. I didn't want to go off on this step, but now in light of heightened tensions over there, terrorist threats, you cannot freely walk around the Eiffel Tower. This was new to me as well because I actually had been able and gone... Around the same time as you, maybe 2014, 2015, I visited Paris as well. You're able to just freely walk around. Now you can't do that. They have tall, bulletproof plexiglass all around the perimeter.
Oh, wow. Plexiglass, interesting.
Yeah, and during high time or high, when there's a lot of tourists, you have to kind of schedule your visit, or if not, you have
time
to wait.
Time visit?
Yeah, if not, you have to wait in a long queue to get into it. Thankfully, I went...
You're not going to just get Euro on us like that. You're not going to just throw a Q in like
that. Oh, shout out to Q's. I said Q's since I came back from London a while ago. Yeah, Q's in lit.
It was a line.
All right. Get Q up and also stand on the right side of the escalator when you're going up, please. Because the left side is the speed lane. So that was actually a difference that I saw in between the two.
Things have changed a lot, man.
Yeah, things have changed a lot. And... You never know how you get there and how you're back. Because, like I said, tensions are kind of high over there. I actually was dealing with a pseudo first world mini crisis of sorts.
Yeah.
Prior to going, because
first world anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. Because Shorty and I were about to fly over into Amsterdam, and the day before our scheduled departure, it was international news beeped into my phone saying that there was a shooting in the tram system in the city of Utrecht. Mm-hmm. So Utrecht is like 45 minutes outside of Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's like the Philly.
You could say that. And shout out to Utrecht. Shout out to New Utrecht,
yeah,
a road in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Because as
this is all, you know, this is just New Amsterdam,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, New York is New Amsterdam. Shout out to the
Blue and Orange.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So a lot of roads and whatnot, especially throughout Brooklyn and Lower Manhattan.
Brooklyn?
Yes.
Brooklyn?
Yes.
Sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
That's exactly, sound funny.
Yeah. Harlem. Harlem is
Harlem?
Yeah. Harlem is a Dutch word as well. So a lot of the city's DNA actually comes from Holland and Amsterdam specifically, and the Dutch East India
Commerce,
Company.
Money.
Shout out to the tours that I went on. Right. Colonialism. fighting and massacring the natives that were here. Colonizing and cultivating land for use, and then subsequently surrendering to the Duke of York in England. And that's how it was made into New York. Oh, whoop-de-doo. There we go. But nonetheless, I got the news that, yeah, this is a shooting, and they're suspecting that it was terrorism. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm about to go over there tomorrow. Like, what am I supposed to do? So I'm sitting there at work pretty much, like, completely just not paying attention to what the fuck I was supposed to be doing and just continually using the tools I have around me, just pretty much my Twitter feed, quickly refreshing on the keyword, like just Utrecht, like Utrecht shooting. And you're seeing, I'm seeing all types of shit, whether from like reputable news outlets.
Random people.
Yeah. Word on the street, so on and so forth. And most detrimentally, most negatively, a lot of like fake news, like legit false news, to support whatever narrative that the news outlet was trying to trying
about
to push.
The shooter specifically.
Yeah, so like there was even this woman, I forgot her name because I didn't bookmark the tweet or anything, but like it was this woman, she had like 200,000 followers, a blue check, so verified, talking about reports say that the when the shooter was leaving, he was yelling Allahu Akbar. Every single shooting that happens, if you ever look at like
and
the
always,
recent news, it's always somebody running from the screen, running from the scene, yelling Allahu Akbar, like God is great in Arabic. So it just made the choice to continue to push there a bit more traumatic enough than anybody would ever want for it to be, because that's the last thing that you want going on a trip or going on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Is a disturbance in your peace of mind, where you're just trying to, you know, obviously get out of your normal routine in the first place and enjoy your own leisure. So we really had to have a sit down with one another, and we chopped it up and just were basically like, you know what, we try to be faithful people. Everything would be all right. There were a number of conflicting news accounts saying that either it was like terrorist motivations, but then there were also accounts from reputable outlets saying that the guy who was the shooter, for one, he was like a derelict and a
vagrant.
Not quite a vagrant, but basically like a low life, a nondescript type of guy that was having problems at home and then had gotten in legal trouble as well, just for like misdemeanor crimes and whatnot before in his life, and had been in a dispute with his family. And maybe potentially was trying to shoot at somebody that he knew or one of his family members while they were on the tram. So that was one of the stories. One of the stories was that it was premeditated, and he just did this as a terrorist act in response to the mass shooting that happened in Christchurch, Australia, literally a day or two before, kind of in response for. In vengeance for the 50 or so Muslims that were slain during that shooting.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot going on. A lot of just, to be honest, a lot of fucking anxiety. We're like, damn, do we want to get on this plane? Do we want to reroute our flight, try to go somewhere else? Long story short, despite all the fake news and misdirection, it seemed like everything was relatively calm. They didn't raise the terrorist threat throughout the country. And Holland itself as a country hasn't been known to be to have dealt right. with such violence up to this point. So we went, and thankfully...
Everybody was safe and had a good time.
You know? Yeah, we had a great time. Ate a lot of good food. Amsterdam's a dope-ass city. Shout out to the bikes and the coffee shops and the canals and everything out there. It was cool.
Yeah, man.
Went to Pada, streetwear store.
All that. I mean, of course I didn't know about that, so I was trying to let that go. Like, oh, yeah, Pada, dope. But I'm glad to hear that you were able to temper your anxieties, because these things are real, man. Like, as much as like I was going to joke on you and you're like, yo, you just still go. Hey, you never know.
You never fucking know, especially when you're like getting that much closer to it. So we had basically had a red eye flight. And while I got there, the first few hours, I was steadily checking. And little news tidbits would come in. They found the culprit and maybe a couple of associates. And I guess just had them detained and weren't really releasing too much information besides saying that they caught the culprit. So from all accounts, even up till now, it just seems as if it was kind of a one-off type of thing. And one of the trends of kind of lone wolf domestic terrorism, whether it's Islamic or white nationalist terrorism, is that it doesn't always have to be like super organized from a like a central body,
right?
You know, coming out of ISIS territory.
It's just about like participating in the ethos of whatever the supposed movement is. It could be
person, right?
Getting, mean that right mind.
Yeah, getting radicalized on the internet, being socially disaffected, not being loved, not having much else to do, having whatever particular problems, and just acting out like that. It's just a common means of acting out. So, yeah, it was just something to deal with, but the anxiety definitely wore off a couple of days in. So, definitely was cool, and went from there and went to Paris.
Beautiful, man. I mean, it's fucked up, but like a lot of stuff you're saying, it seems like analogous to this whole Nipsey situation, when like you, very specific way, sort of the internet was moving and how everyone's talking about this guy and the fact that fucking the SEO and Eric Holder, geez, man, it's all fucked up. Like,
right, the a person of true duality.
Yeah.
The
whoa.
The
we talk about tethers, dog. Shit.
Oh, the tether! God
damn!
Oh, damn! We don't mean to make light,
but damn, yeah, dark.
We don't mean to make light of such a terrible situation, but
fucked up.
Yeah, this guy Eric Holder is the purported
bringing it back down
assailant.
Tone
of,
returning.
Nipsey Hussle, an entrepreneur and rapper, highly respected in the black community, I would say, and Eric Holder, the first black attorney general of the United States under the Obama administration. Now he's working on like voter initiatives and
gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering laws. So, yeah, that's very weird that
son
he got put out there.
It just hit me.
Yeah. But what an interesting abstraction from this whole thing about, you know, Nipsey getting murdered and everything is through the lens of social media, right? Yeah. And similar to all these firsthand eyewitness accounts and reports for fake news or conspiracies and everything, so on and so forth, I was at my grandmother's house when I found out, right?
Yeah.
I was over there having Sunday dinner. And actually, let me put a small addendum to that. Before I walked over there, because thankfully enough, I live in walking distance from my grandmother's crib, I just was on Twitter at the moment, and I saw that there were just various accounts, people retweeting or responding to things saying, oh, Nipsey got shot.
Yeah.
Or we don't know, or this, that, the third.
Some
shit happened. He's at the hospital. So my first inclination, being the person I am nowadays, I don't know about you, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait on this because I don't want to...
You know what the internet is.
Yeah, get into hearsay.
Spouting out.
It seems like every other day some random 90s sitcom figure is dead or some shit, you know. So I'm like, and also that was my wishful thinking, like, yeah, you know what,
trying to be positive.
I'm gonna be positive. It's just, and to be honest, since I do that so often, and I thought he may have just, in the worst case, maybe just got like shot on some, like how like Cameron got shot in DC,
yeah,
and he like drove himself to the hospital or something like, yeah, that. So I'm like, okay. So I walked in, I honestly like forgot about it, and then yeah, got to my grandmother's politic with my relatives for a minute, and then checked my phone again, and they was talking about he was dead.
It was crazy.
And that shit just like hit me like a brick. I'm not even like the biggest fan of his, although I do have like one of my cousins, Koo, is that Koo?
Yeah.
Big fan of his, but I always respected his philanthropy, his entrepreneurship, and just the way he moved, and was just like, just kind of like a straight up person, and you could tell like he was really a man of the people.
You know what's crazy about that? Like, as someone who knows about hip hop, follows hip hop tangentially at this point, like, tell me what's hot, I'll be in there, I'll follow up with it.
Yeah.
And the same day, I was in the car on the way to see us actually, and I was like, damn, Nipsey got shot, crazy. In between the Uber ride, getting in and out, I was like, damn, Nipsey's dead, crazy. And then all the, you know, the posts and everything, mm-hmm, like that. And it just was crazy to me because I'm not gonna lie, I don't think I've ever listened to a Nipsey song.
That's fair.
And all that I knew was like, yo, I heard another dude that was like a gangster rapper that like actually does business and stuff. And he was, I knew he was independent. He came up on his own.
Right.
Didn't sign that label. Got his money.
Jay-Z bought 100 copies of his album. He's selling for $100.
All the stuff that I knew about him. So I was right, like, I fuck with this guy. Like, I didn't have to listen to a song for me to mentally be like, I'm on whatever he's with. Like I believe in that.
Right.
Respect. So to have every little sort of detail of this trickle out in different ways, and it just made it more and more fucked up.
Yeah, and just like it, when it goes through all these different lenses, it kind of detracts from the person. It doesn't really respect him as a person, his life, and the life that he led. It's, but well, when it's just chopped up into so many little bits, and it's just like, oh, was he shot? Is he dead? Is he not? Is he this? Is he that? And people get with their little snide jokes or have one of the little various conversations or whatever. So, okay. Only you have a note because I was
just an additional point to that is just that about him is that he was so outside the realm of all the crazy shit with rap now and like,
yeah, like the foolishness.
The foolishness, yeah. And like the last time I really thought about a rapper getting shot, like, and I guess multiple have gotten shot recently,
yeah,
but they're like these young kids doing this wild shit and like, yeah, and I'm like, okay. And now it's just like this dude that everybody's respecting over really, if you could say it, like, when you talk about the Utrecht thing, just petty bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, any man with a gun in his hand has the power of God. Yeah. So that's the way I feel it.
Is that a Jay-Z line?
No.
Oh, no. It just sounds like some shit.
That's a DJ line. So, yeah, so I'm at my grandmother's, too, and we're just blown and talking about it. Like, I couldn't even really, like, it did definitely hit a lot of us the same way. Like, I don't know why it has such weight. Maybe just because of the person that he was. In the way he carried himself. Although he did come from the street type life, he's affiliated with or part of the Rolling 60 Crips and whatnot, but he was not like some rah-rah, run around, shoot people up type person. Like, he really has been on his business shit, and that's very clear. And it's not like he was, like, this was just more like a freak occurrence of toxic masculinity and whatever, so on and so forth. But my cousin comes in and she's like, oh yeah, shot. And, yeah, here, look at my phone. She just is like casually trying to show me pictures of his dead body that are just being circulated, man, around Instagram. And I had to tell her, I kind of like tightened up and got in a more serious mode. I'm like, yo, seriously, I don't want to see this right now. I really don't. Cause I was already just kind of upset and traumatized just by the fact that he got murdered literally like, you know, 45 minutes ago when everybody knows about it. So, and she's, you know, young, still in her teens, and is one of these people that most definitely indulges far too much in social media than she should. And she and people like her are just so desensitized and so like...
It's crazy, man.
She just didn't really understand
the gravity the of like everything. It's just so fleeting to them.
Yeah, I was like, "Yo, do you really realize like you looking at a dead body?" And it's like, it wasn't I took a quick glance, so I really can't even tell you what I saw because I just legit did not want to see it. But she's just like, yeah, here's the pick. I'm like,
we don't need the pick. Like,
yeah, we don't.
Like, that's not, and with the TMZ, you know, thing about that, and they're getting the surveillance footage and all this. Like, the culture of that is so crazy that people, yeah, like, I don't know how old your cousin is, 15, 16?
Let's say 17.
And something like yeah. Just like living like that. Mm-hmm. Coupled with the maturity of being young like that, it's just like a lot of what we see on Twitter is fueled by that, and it's just kind of dark, man, and
very dark. Yeah, and it's disrespectful to him and his family too.
Because like, I didn't even know that he was with Lauren London, and they, like, I saw they had a GQ cover, like, yeah. All the things, these things were like, yeah, growing from him, the store, and
yeah, he was definitely hitting his stride in terms of.
Shit, you saw him. He was at the Texas Tech game. Did you see that?
Yeah, he'd be. No,
like,
I didn't see that.
I'm saying it was literally like the day before, and he was like at the Texas Tech game. Like, they, I don't remember, the kid made a big shot. He's like, "Yo, Nipsey," he was like shouting him out and like pounding it. Like,
dog, the
crazy.
He just had this YouTube. I mean, this GQ video on YouTube that just came out.
Him and Lauren, right?
Literally over the past weekend. Yeah, the 30 questions thing. So yeah, he definitely was out here. It wasn't like just some random guy. But even to be someone there at the scene, your first inclination is to, like, you're thinking through the lens of your phone and through these apps that I want to just take a picture of this man while he's on the ground dying. It's dark, bro.
I didn't even realize that is what she was looking at, because I've only heard it. There was like that surveillance, but that's crazy.
No, people are
running around taking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people were there. All it takes really is one picture to be casually disseminated to hundreds of, or millions of people that are on particularly IG. But yeah, like, what type of person are you to do that? And no one is questioning themselves about like what they're taking in. And this is like some of the darkest shit to take in and to treat as casual is just something that I'm not comfortable with. And on a group chat with my homies, one of my friends posted the picture, and I was still kind of raw at the moment. And I ain't go crazy on him and nothing like that. But I'm like, yo, bro, why the fuck did you post that? Yeah. Like, you're not really thinking, at least to me, like, we can have an honest disagreement. It was just how I felt at the time. But I'm like, bro, like, that's mad desensitizing and is disrespectful to him and like his life and him and his death and his family and his baby that he has on the way. Like, we just looking at this like dead body. Like, did anybody really need to see this? So there are ways around this. I mean, Facebook has had a machine learning algorithm to detect female nipples for multiple years now. That's why you can't, if you try to post a nude female photo on Facebook, it may be able to stay up for a few minutes, but it'll eventually get flagged and be taken down.
Yeah.
Either by a human or just by the machine learning algorithm. Yeah. So you can't tell me there are not ways to like detect these type of things or just use someone flagging it to be able to send a spider out throughout the rest of the internet to be able to take these type of images down. So it just didn't really sit well with me, and this just falls into all these issues that come out of fucking social media and how our behaviors and actions have changed. The way we think about shit has changed.
Well said. I mean,
trying, man. Like, I don't know. Like,
it's frustrating to experience because it makes you feel not human. Because you're like, is this how people think and live? Like, what kind of world do I live when this is the way people react to things like this?
Yeah.
It caused a lot of dissonance in your perspective.
It definitely wasn't as bad as it could have been. Don't get me wrong. But between that and, you know, my same little cousin, and she comes forward saying like, oh yeah, people are saying it may have been the government because he was working on this documentary profiling Dr. Sebi.
Yeah.
Who had been trying to, or who had supposedly cured AIDS and cancer. Like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to check out.
that was the subject of one of our articles today by Stacey. Stacia Brown.
Ooh, say it again.
Stacia. Okay. I hope that's right. That's what Stacia? I'm going. Stacey. It could be Stacey. I don't know. But she did an op-ed in WAPO. Take that, listener. You know who you are.
Ooh.
The Post. about sort of the Dr. Sebi aftermath on the internet and things like that. Mm-hmm. And how, I guess she's conflicted just because her feelings about how traumatized black people are in general when fucked up shit happens to them. Because I think this is a really, like, not to say it's only a black thing, but like the idea that if we can attribute something to some sort of greater conspiratorial thing, mm-hmm. it assuages the pain of that, how just the fucked upness of life is if it's the government or some kind of fucking thing. And people do that. It makes them feel better. I don't know.
I think that's blackness or the black ethos just put on top of just normal conspiracy thinking or just like American conspiracy thinking. Whether it's the fake moon landing or the Illuminati and all those type of stuff. Like, obviously, black people as a whole have a strong reason to be skeptical of everything or of the government and its actions, because things that sound like fucking conspiracies and sound legit happened before. Yeah. Tuskegee experiments or whatever, you know, or COINTELPRO.
COINTELPRO.
You know,
Iran-Contra and all that shit.
Yeah, Iran-Contra, spies inside of the Black Panther Party and everything. So the slight rationale is there, but there were at least facts on the ground to kind of hash those out more.
Yeah.
Obviously,
it's the jumping to.
Yeah, I guess it's just because everything is microwave. We're like, that was just the immediate conclusion to make instead of the more straightforward one.
Yeah.
Because then that just falls on the just the nature of conspiracies anyway. It's just that, you know,
they're difficult. Yeah. It would take.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. So some conspiracies, you know, may bear out to be more true than they're not. But the truth is sometimes like real life is just stranger than fiction, to be honest, or it's just so traumatizing you think it's fiction. It's just traumatizing that you think a person to person dispute between some random guy in the hood at Nipsey Hussle for this guy to go back, get a gun and, you know, shoot Nipsey 6 times over a dispute.
If we can tie this up on something sort of positive, I'm not gonna call it positive.
This may have been like the heaviest episode we've done.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, yeah. I'm over thinking like, damn, DJ about to cry over here. I don't know, this thing get emotional.
I was like, traumatized, guy. I was like, let me just let him. I was thinking, I wasn't about to cry, but I was just like, goddamn, like this nigga really just got killed. Like,
I felt the same way though, because it was just so. I was like, what? It was just like, why? Like, why?
I legit bookmarked that video. Like, I bookmarked the video to watch. I didn't even watch it. It's crazy, son.
And I think, to sort of bring home what I was just saying right now, it's just that, just the outpouring. I'm just like, wow. Because this has happened relatively recently. Obviously, no figures as large. Mm-hmm. With, like, people getting shot or dying, like, suddenly. But just the amount of love that he's gotten, I'm just like, that hopefully that feeling and that sort of presence of like, oh, we have to do better and things like that, it gets down beyond celebrity class and all these people that are, you know, posting and doing things like that. Because what, especially with the NBA players, a lot of those guys just knew him from being from LA, and they're like, right. That intimate.
Yeah, I see Russ put up 20-20 and 20.
Yeah, two triple doubles, which one
was,
game.
No, yeah, which was then it was adjusted. Like, he actually had 21 assists, but
yeah,
the point was to have 20-20-20, add up to 60.
Yeah,
rolling the 60 crip for Nipsey. So.
Versus the Lakers.
Yeah, for Nipsey. So it was a kind gesture.
Yeah. Yeah, but just throughout just music and basketball and just. Everything, LA, or Eric Garcetti, and all these people, like,
yeah, man, they're like cops crying, all yeah, time. Like this, things like this, it was just tragic, right? Like things like this, people don't want things like this to happen to people like that, because that just doesn't seem as if that would be in the cards for him.
Exactly,
yeah.
Especially for what everyone is talking about with. This is what you should be doing. You're like, if you're gonna,
right?
It's just like,
right, the most conservative case, right? The most bootstrap shit ever.
Not only bootstrap shit, but also the liberalism of not leaving your community, like the whole like, you guys get money, you bootstrap yourself and you leave our communities and you don't, and you're causing gentrification because you don't. So not only the capitalist conservative make your money, support yourself and come up, but reinvestment in the community to businesses, not just like, I don't know, turkey give outs or some shit.
Yeah.
To get killed.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Initially, before we got too far, you said that you had some kind of thread that would link us to our next topic. As we have openly acknowledged the darkness of this episode, so I don't feel like I need to sort of come up with some kind of hackneyed way to Eurostep my way over to it.
Oh, is this TikTok or the?
Yeah, I think mostly it's the internet.
Yeah, just like social media. I don't know. I don't know how TikTok handled this. Yeah,
I hope not.
I don't know shit about it. You were supposed to. You were supposed to tell me about it.
I'm going to tell you about it.
Okay. I don't know if it was lit on there. They had, apparently there's a video aspect. I don't know. Maybe they were just like playing his videos or something. Apparently his streams have skyrocketed like 2,000%.
Insane amount.
And he owns his masters. Like, this was a person that was really about his shit. So this is actually still going towards a good cause. His partner, Lauren London, they were expecting a child. They're still expecting a child. So he has a family to feed. So, the streams, they still count for something.
Yeah. So listen, how TikTok is rewriting the world.
Was this the Times thing? Where is this?
Huh?
Where's this from?
The Times, man.
I feel like I got you down in the dumps. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying, you know, I can perform happy. I'm not down in the dumps.
Oh, okay,
cool. I can bring it
back.
You
seem kind of melancholy.
I'm just trying to keep the tone correct. I can't just bring it up.
Whoa, again, yeah.
TikTok, whoa. Wacky.
No, I'm with it. I'm with you.
But what's important about this topic, even though you don't know about it, right? Like this article was a revelation to me, along with a few ones I've read for context about the sort of different stories that are going on along with TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because as much as we talked about how shitty Twitter is specifically, in terms of, you know, sort of this jumping
conclusions. I brought in an Instagram angle as well.
TikTok is some sort of new weird beast, and it's got international intrigue and all this other shit involved into it too, but specifically it's marketed towards these super young. So that's another twist.
Predatory.
So do you know anything about it at all?
I know it's two things I'm leery of.
Okay.
It's Chinese suspense. Technology. It's Chinese technology, and it's
well, you have iPhones.
Yeah, but that's not Chinese technology. It may have been assembled in China. And even that is a little problematic, but and it's a social network, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good. Cool. All right, cool.
All right.
Not much.
All right.
And neither did I. But I didn't want to. A few weeks ago, my lady's nephew was here and they were talking about he's like TikTok.
Oh shit.
And he's 6.
Damn.
So that shows you what's going on here.
What is the marketing strategy?
The marketing strategy is that
to like get 6-year-olds.
The marketing strategy is that
like Elmo using it.
That it's an social media app turned on its head in terms of the way you curate what you're going to pay attention to on there.
Ooh.
So Herman kind of explains everything with it for us. He literally says like, if you're an adult, you don't know shit about this. So here, you ever heard of Musical.ly?
Yeah.
So they bought Musical.ly, right?
Yeah, the holding company or whatever that owns TikTok,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they sort of merged some of its features into Douyin. Douyin in China is the name of TikTok.
Does that translate exactly to TikTok?
No, it translates to something like, hold on, sorry. I had it. It was
just fun machines.
Honestly, I read a line about that, but I was like, we're not going to talk about what it translates into at all.
I know, but it's just
it's always, something funny. Like
it's always interesting, though, that because there's just little to no way to translate between like a Western language and the Eastern Oriental language.
And it's like basic, like some completely on the nose.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, it's like music noise. No, TikTok, known as Douyin. I'm starting it wrong, probably. Obviously, I'm not a tonal speaker. Literally, vibrating sound.
Oh my god.
So they bought Musical.ly and they've incorporated like musical aspects into this. But what it is that it's like cable television.
Ooh.
In a streaming form, in the sense that it's not curating what you look at based upon the shit that you like. It's just like, this is the shit. Participate with it.
Okay.
So if you're a kid and you're just on it and you're like, oh, these are the things, and you just immediately dive into it. Mm. It's not like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter where it's like you get on there, you find all the people that you like, and then that like encourages you to find other things that you like, and you grow what you like on your feed and it'll be curated to you. I don't know. If you spend enough time on it.
It is algorithmically curated?
It's already pre-algorithmically curated to whatever they think fits your particular demographic or what you'd be interested in. And the way that it encourages kids specifically who aren't doing shit to participate in it is they are like almost creating what Vine and Twitter wanted to do with these hashtags that are this 90% challenges and things like that. So kids are just like, I'm going to make one of the videos too. The doo-doo video. So everyone just makes the doo-doo video and then...
Oh, like Baby Shark?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it just grows and grows and grows and grows. People watch them and there's no next button. It just plays the next thing. So it just sucks you in to this infrastructure of random videos, other kids creating things, music, all in one place.
Oh, so this shit is turnt.
I guess so. So it's been an interesting place for people to like make things and like kids to like sort of quickly create videos or take their take on a particular hashtag.
And you can put obviously contribute content.
Yeah, it's just like Snapchat. So you can put a filter on whatever. I'm gonna do the doo-doo challenge. I'm gonna put, I don't know.
Hold on, is that a thing?
No.
Oh shit, I'm like doo-doo challenge.
But what is a thing, and which I just found out, is the Yeehaw. Shit! Drop my microphone, people. What is a thing, and what really got me further to want to talk about this, is the Yeehaw Challenge.
Ah, yes.
Which created Lil Nas X.
Ah, that's the thread.
Yes. So, this kid, who I hope you're aware of now, everyone in the world.
Yo, shout out to the just... unfathomable speed things happen, because like I was out of the country for 2 weeks with only moderate connection to the outside world intentionally, and I had no idea what this shit was or who Lil Nas X was, and by the time I come back there's all this acrimony about how he was taken off of the Billboard charts, the Billboard country charts and everything. So that, as Ron Burgundy would say, well, that escalated quickly.
It did escalate quickly. And it's funny, like, this whole thing about the controversy between the charts and stuff like that is one angle, the racism angle, which is always a funny one, especially with something like this, because we talked about this a little previously.
You know what's always funny? The racism angle.
The racism angle. But, like, the whole thing with just, like, this kid essentially... performing white shit is like, I'm performing, this is what y'all do, ha ha, and it's just like making them upset, and I find it hilarious. It's really funny.
Okay, so how did, okay, so do you, can I ask questions now?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
How did that song get, how did that song chart, if it spurned from TikTok?
It became so popular
that
DJs and all these people would just play it, and they would rip it off of YouTube. Okay. The song is a minute and a half.
Lit.
Great. I'm all for that.
All the best songs.
Short and most shit. Short it all.
Yeah.
So he is doing this Yeehaw Challenge, and he had been making songs. He'd been trying to make memes. He's a kid. And he makes the song, and it gets into the TikTok algorithm with this Yeehaw Challenge, and people start making these videos with the hashtag Yeehaw, and it has this song on it. So people have seen 67 million times. People have viewed this shit. And Texas Tech, when they won, danced to the song. And it's like a whole dance to it. The Old Town Road like song. I know it's not the best technology here. You gotta hear it, but you gotta hear this. Gotta hear this. Oh my mic.
Is this shit copyrighted? Are we gonna get sued if we play Lil Nas X?
Are we gonna get sued by Lil Nas X? No.
Okay.
Might get sued by TikTok, right? But they're in China, whatever. Yeah. They know about intellectual property theft and shit.
Yeah, this shit is like retribution.
This is Texas Tech.
Turn the phone so I can see. Ooh. Did they make the Final Four?
Yeah, they did. Texas Tech.
Shout out to Texas Tech.
So this idea that, you know, you're gonna do these like horse dances, they're riding horses and things like that. take my horse to the Old Town Road.
So you know Toby Keith like felt disrespected by this shit and he just called up his homies in the record label and that shit just went up.
Is that what it is?
That's I don't know. Some shit like that. Like they're like, take this shit down.
I feel like Toby Keith is probably cool.
I don't know. What, big and rich
isn't big and rich.
Isn't rich like a right winger?
I've heard a lot of people just like, yo, just let him cook, man.
Yeah, so, I did see their like very brief explanation for why they took it down. You know what their main like excuse was?
That it didn't have country elements.
No, not even that.
Okay.
Well, partially that, but the headline was like, it was a mistake. Like, how the fuck is that a mistake? How the fuck is that a mistake? Like, oh shit, this song just shot up the charts. That was unintentional. Like, how do you even discern that? I don't even understand how you could get to that point.
I don't. It's weird. So one of the things that,
and also, genre is completely subjective. Do they really have like some criteria to make something a country song?
They really don't.
This is like back in the day when people were arguing. You know, what is trap music?
Yo,
what's
crunk? I read a really good article. I don't remember what it was, but it was about how people were mad that Ray Charles was doing country music in like 1961 because he like came with that country album.
Yeah.
Country Western Standards by Ray Charles. And it was like fire. And it was like, this nigger doesn't make country music. And I bet you he can see.
Exactly. So what the fuck? Like, what does this mean?
I mean, this interview that this kid did, he did an interview with Time about it. And it's like really, like, I was like, this is a smart kid. Like, the way he explained everything and how he felt, not only about the app, but also the racism and things like that. First of all, the fact that he was just pining over his music struggle. He's like, I've been making so many songs, I wasn't becoming successful. That's what this song was about. It's about, I'm going to just give up and go on the road and just give up. And he said something weird, which kind of speaks to our dystopia. That he was like, I was trying to promote the song as a meme for months. So I was like, what does that mean?
He's just trying to make memes. Retweeting his own shit. Like.
Because the video, have you seen the official video for this?
No,
it's not even
bro.
Official, but no. It's just Red Dead Redemption.
It's
just a black character.
Yeah,
it's just like doing fighting niggas.
Oh my God.
It's just so.
I saw it as a. You know when you're scrolling whatever and some shit will play? Okay, so I saw that part. But I saw the, you know, news headlines or whatever talking about this topic, and I kept seeing like a screenshot.
Sorry.
I kept seeing like a screenshot of Red Dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why the fuck does this have to do with Red Dead? Because that's my game. That game is fire. It's mad long. I still haven't beaten it.
It's just an epic.
Yeah, but I'm like, what the fuck does this have to do with Red Dead Redemption? Until I kind of saw it playing, and then you put two and two together. I'm like, oh, he dubbed it over and made a little story out of it using the online mode or something like that. Made his little character. Shout out to him, man.
He's enterprising. And funnily enough, remember when Vine was a big issue about the Vine creators and should they get paid and everything?
Yeah.
He was like, so, like, you think you should be in pay? He's like, honestly, nah. He was like, yo, like, I made a song and they blew it up. I wouldn't even be famous with this shit.
Yeah, the ultimate Generation Y comment is like, nah, don't pay me. Just pay me in likes. Like, some shit like that. Like, all right, nigga. Man, take that money while you can.
He said, I credit them a lot for, like, making me successful. But the song is fire. And the story is about, so people are revitalizing the idea of country trap, and people are going to revisit Bubba Sparks now and shit. Like,
Yeah, I mean,
it's just interesting, man.
I don't know. Did Nelly pave the way for this?
I mean, a bit. You know, him and was that Toby Keith? Who did this? Garth Brooks. Over and over.
It was two songs.
When they both look at the pictures of the girl in there. Yeah.
I can't take it. I can't shake it. No, I was completely. I don't out
get
on
why
that.
Nelly didn't come out with a full country album though. He would be making mad bank doing that right now. He missed that boat. I know we fuck it up.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what was with his like business / music strategy. It just seemed like he faded.
Because he definitely was as big as fucking Eminem. Like,
yeah, so 10 million albums.
It's just like, damn,
dog. Off a single disc album.
All he had to do was just.
He had the Midwest on lock. It was not that many people.
And if he moved to the country lane, he would have been eating with white people for years, for 15 years now.
It would have been him. What's the two black country artists now? The Adults.
Oh, that's a thing?
No, they got like two guys that got two big songs. I don't follow this shit. I don't know. We're going to come back. I'll come back on that.
But TikTok, man.
Next week.
Started all this insanity. And now, you know, shit, they got fucking Indian government trying to ban it because they
make
sexual dances with the teens. And they're like Bollywood memes on there that they don't like. And it's just so fast and so backwards from what we previously done with this whole, you know, social media shit because it's been done before. So sort of the legwork of all that shit is out of the way, and they solved for what all these social networks are trying to do now because they had the head start. It's just a weird...
Can you detail that a little bit? Like,
well, I mean, we go back to the social network, and what's my man at Twitter? It's Jack and all this shit, and hi, this is a tweet, all this, you know, trial and error of what it takes and how this is going to be a business and how are people going to... Are we moving from post to video? What does that mean? Are people going to watch things here? All these things about what the business and really the advertising of what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yo, what this is a algorithmic video sharing platform.
So it's like designed for virality.
It's not only designed for virality, but it took the friends out of it. The friends and the following. Out of it. It's all through hashtag. It's like, what is everyone talking about? I'll make a video, we'll watch it, but do I really need to follow this particular person, or I'll just hop onto the next thing that's on there?
Okay, so has it been subverted yet besides these sexual dances, Bollywood dances?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, have people but just started has Alex Jones made an account coke yet? On there or shit? No. has Alex Jones made an account in it yet? Just be like, hashtag Pizzagate.
I'm sure there's probably something about him doing something ridiculous and people just copying it over and over again. I'm sure. The only one I saw was that I never finished my story about her cousin. It's the Onana challenge. So, yeah, it's like a dance. It just goes, oh, na-na, oh, na-na. People just do the dance, so that's it.
And it's just motherfuckers dancing.
Yeah.
Millions of kids dancing.
But I... Dude,
this shit is probably some type of mind controllers.
I mean, and at the end of the day, you talked about Huawei and all these things. It's Chinese.
So, yeah, that's what I was getting back to. Like, know, I mean, I don't know. India seems like they might be coming more on a censorship type of angle. I'm a little leery of that being a full blooded American. Shout out to Lee Greenwood. I think I heard that song somewhere randomly. Proud to be American. I don't know where I was.
Were you in Europe? Like, yes, we're here.
Yo, in Amsterdam, side. You know the city flag?
Yeah.
It's like, it looks almost like a Confederate flag.
Really?
Yeah. I had to do a double take.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
But nonetheless, I think it's like the city, like the district or Holland.
Holland specifically.
Yeah, because it's the Netherlands, but like, I don't know, one or two, some shit. We'll come back to that next week. Probably not, but nonetheless. You gotta be skeptical of this Chinese shit, man.
When you have a single government that's able to be effective, they can do a lot of shit.
Niggas effective. not denying that, but it's more so...
They can use, you know, whatever they want to.
Yeah, it's more so about the surveillance,
yeah,
the lack of privacy, or even the guise of privacy, because I mean...
That's how they get you.
Yeah, and you started with Huawei. That whole thing has turned into like a... I don't know, like a Tom Clancy thriller or something like that with heiress is being arrested in Canada and shit.
Yeah, right? It's great.
But in short, the U.S. is partially feuding with the rest of the Western world because they're all trying to make investments in 5G technology, and the best medium between the best tech and cheapest way of doing that is buying and using this Huawei software, which is a Chinese company. And there's a lot of speculation and fears that somehow on the supply chain, the Chinese are inputting surveillance technology or something like that. So over here in the U.S., we're like, nah, fuck that. We don't want that shit here.
All right, you know, fuck Trump and all that, but
I'm kind of with that.
I've been with that shit for a minute. He's like, this whole like, this whole shit about like China's fuck. They are though. They definitely are, and they've been doing, especially with this whole IP thing. Just like we just steal shit. Like, we just let them steal shit just because it's just easier. They got all the money.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, all right, respect.
Yeah, so is broken clocks, man. A broken clock is right. Yeah. Is right twice a day.
Sure.
So we'll leave with that.
Before we dip out, man, we had our intellectual and.
Traumatic
discussions for cathartic. The day. So, listeners, if you just want to hear us talk a little shit a little further, any other news and notes, man, we need to catch up on? If we dig deep into the grab bag.
We've lived parallel lives, kind of like we're tethered over the past few days.
Oh, yes.
We went to the, who was that, the Bucks?
Yeah, the Bucks.
The Nets Navy, they put up a good fight, but... I don't know if any of you guys have been able or been lucky enough to see Giannis play, but like this nigga's like unguardable. I don't know how the hell you guard somebody like him. He just runs into your chest and then just jumps over you and with his long arms and dunks over the top of you. So he pretty much did that or attempted to do that the entire game and eventually the dam broke. So the Nets wound up losing, but thankfully their playoff hopes did not dimmer in the least bit because of all of the other teams in contention lost that. Lost on that same night.
But as we record, we're currently down 7 points to the Toronto Raptors.
Yes. The schedule does not get any easier, but we remain hopeful here in the Nets Navy. And see you bitches in the playoffs. I'm not sure we play, but we'll be there. But yeah, speaking of tethering, I saw us.
You
said you saw us.
I did see us.
Jordan Peele film.
Yes, I did.
And I believe we spoke about it a bit at the game. As we well.
You know, we know that was last week, y'all, and by the time this comes out, it may be in the future, but everyone's had their thoughts. I hope you've seen it. There's a lot of other movies and shit coming out in the future, so this is holding down the end of March, early April, before we get into real big-time movie Game of Thrones season. But this is, you know, Jordan Peele's actual, I don't know, auteur take on, I guess, the doppelganger thriller. And
yeah, like Invasion of Body Snatchers type of thing.
Yeah, everybody has their theories on it. I was not a fan of the plot. Mm-hmm. I think the idea was cool, themes mm-hmm. were cool, Lupita's mm-hmm. acting, mm-hmm. great. But spoilers, bad execution.
Mm. Yeah, it wasn't as... I guess we're starting off with the negatives. I will say overall...
Been negative Nancy over here, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the movie for the most part. It was cool. It wasn't quite as profound and awesome, for lack of a better word, as Get Up per se, just as a movie, as an overall product.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were cool things to take out of, and slowly but surely we're seeing an entire universe of black filmmakers and black actors. Like you got to think, like the main cast was a black family, and they were like normal
in a horror movie.
In a horror movie.
They just existed.
And none of them... Are we spoiling shit?
Go for it.
I mean, no one died. Like none of them died. So that's cool. Just as an overall thing. I definitely heard a lot of people coming out of the movie. They did not enjoy it as much. I think because of such acclaim the first movie got, he moved into this one with a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
And... now he has to play this odd middle ground of being an auteur with a social commentary and something to say, but also a crowd pleaser. And you don't always strike that tone.
Can't meet everyone's expectations, but especially with films, like when you're trying to be an auteur or whatever.
Yeah, like when you're just like, oh, especially on this film, right? Especially now in today's ultra skeptical social media driven society and everything, where everybody has something to say and think they have hot takes, like the two of us. It's like, oh, what did that mean? For this movie, there are multiple things. Like they just, you'll just never know. Like, it's not even really, it's almost besides the point for any of us to speculate, like, what were the rabbits about, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have questions like, oh, well, when the family travels, what does the tether person do? You know, was...
Run into the walls
or shit. Yeah, or was Red, you know, just trapped in, under the Santa Cruz pier her entire life. Like, you just, like, those things are almost beside the point. But I thought the overall theme was, particularly either just the compromises that we all make and the demons that we have in our past, and or a commentary on the socioeconomic divide and American capitalism.
I mean, you hit around the head, man. Like, it's weird because I usually have the headphones in my ear. My headphones just fell out.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds different out here. Yeah, man, it was all there for you if you really wanted to understand the themes. I'm just at the point where in this sort of Black Twitter, everyone's got an opinion on society and the world and life. You're not going to surprise me with no themes. Maybe if you, like, especially with Get Out and shit, it was just like, white people were like, oh, so profound.
Yeah.
So for even something like this that's not specifically about race, it's just like, yeah, I know, like, people, shit's fucked up. So just make me a well-executed movie so I can actually enjoy it and not be like, wait, what? And lose things there. Yeah. I don't want to lose you. I want to be on the ride. Just take me there.
I'm with it. It's something a bit, it's a bit cynical of him to more or less kind of intentionally withhold certain things or leave certain things up to interpretation. That's just one way to take on it. But I would say the majority of people, yourself included, partially myself included, don't, especially at first thought, just your first reaction, like, you're not gonna be warm to that. You can be like, damn, like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
And then the whole movie just ends, and you're like, oh, okay, like, why was, you know, little buddy looking at his mom's like that? Like, you never know. I don't know. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. It's
you gotta earn it for interpretation. Me. You gotta earn it.
How would he have earned it? Like, throughout the film or throughout his career?
No, throughout the film specifically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to have a certain number of, like, fire films to get ambiguity, but just in the course of the film, the film has to be consistent enough where you can drop some ambiguity and be like, oh, shit, I understand the world enough that thing, it could be this or it could be that. Yeah. Not that, what the fuck does that mean? Because none of this shit made sense anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Inception, ambiguity at the end, fine. I'll take that because it's like, yeah. Yo, like,
spinning tops. Is he still dreaming?
is he awake or is he still dreaming? Two clear choices that you understand from how the shit works.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, too. When you get an explanation of a sort of, like, an us of the world, I don't know, an hour and 12 minutes in about the actual scope of what's happening, it's kind of like, oh, wait, what? As opposed to early on, and then it gives you time to piece things together. But I don't shit on it or complain about too much.
Yeah, because then you've kind of, like, stamped in too much in one direction. But at least it made it a conversation piece.
Sure. Or a slow news week.
Or a slow news week.
Snap, snap.
Yeah, or maybe Jordan Peele just built up so much cachet. Like, you or people in the commentary feel like you have to kind of talk about them. And to be honest, in a weird space, I guess so, because we Black. But, like, white people drive a lot of the zeitgeist and commentary as well in a certain way. So they're like, oh, Jordan Peele film. Got to talk about it.
Shit, you didn't see Jordan Peele when he played a gay Laker in Mad TV?
Slap ass. Just,
no, in 2000.
No, I know. I was thinking just a slap ass kid.
Slap ass kid. Yeah. Son, like, I don't know where that came up. I was watching this shit and started playing my YouTube feed and how they did a 2004 Lakers joke about Kobe's rape case and shit skit.
Shit.
And so we got to replace him. Saffron Johnson, and then
he
comes out mad at feminist shit. I was like, wow, this is dated.
right. Yeah, so, I mean, he's built up the cachet, so what can we say? I mean, it's cool.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, and he has a, maybe next time we come back, we grab about Twilight Zone. Now, he got part of this fucking, these paywalls.
CBS.
Yeah, like, it's about time you and I put our $8 together and bundle all these services together. Like, on some OG cable shit. Because, nigga, I was watching March Madness. And then they were like, oh, now this game, particularly Duke. Like, they know, yeah. They're like, yeah, this Duke game is on CBS All Access. Like, who has this service?
Nobody.
Like, why would anybody pay for a CBS streaming service? When you can watch a bunch of that shit on, you know, Hulu or whatever. Or you can get it on, like, the Bunny Ears, you know, like, national.
It's so hard to get the Bunny Ears going now, too. I think they deliberately so.
Bro, I just.
Like, why is there CBS All Access when there is Bunny Ears? Like, why?
I don't know. But I broke them out of the box. I remember you gave me the recommendation. They didn't work on my old TV. I bossed up and got a new TV not too long ago. I plugged it in.
Did it work?
Yes, it worked, yo. Yo, it works, hood. And it had a channel guide with, like, the actual information on the shows. I'm like, damn, all this shit is over the air.
It's a good supplementary thing to have. Yeah. For live events, like Sundays, football, and all that shit.
I gave my box back. Yeah. Not just because of this, but I gave my cable box back. I only had, like, the first 12 channels anyway. And I was paying, like, $20 a month on that shit, so... I gave that back to Optimum. So, this is all to say, like, I don't know why anybody would have CBS All Access. And I think...
I got a free trial to watch some shit.
Yeah, but, like, for how long you have a free trial?
Like, immediately canceled it.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. I think, like, I wanted to watch the Grammys or some shit. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, because they have your credit card on file. You got to close that shit quick. Yeah, I think his is behind that paywall, though. I think it's on CBS All Access, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it is.
So he got a...
They're trying to bring, like, normal people to CBS.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
You got Jordan Peele.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Not just NCIS.
They clearly gave him a big bag by that, you know.
NCIS, like, Kansas City.
Kansas City. Where they go, like...
Naval crime?
Chicago. Chicago Fed or whatever.
It's the worst fucking show.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they can have all that shit. Fucking, then what's the other joint they have? Bones?
The Good Wife.
I mean, apparently, millions of people watch these shows, but they, like, millions of people in Kansas City. yo. Nah, prison. Prison count is, like, one household. On the stats, they'd be like, Leavenworth Prison, one house.
That's one. Is it like somebody in charge to keep the Nielsen book and shit? Like, good behavior, Johnson, dude, keep the Nielsen tracker. We get $10 for mess hall for y'all niggas.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe we'll find a way to finesse around that. I don't know. I don't have another $10 to give CBS.
No.
So, nah. I'll leave it at that.
So on that note... It's been another good set of leg. I'm glad you guys can sit in with us. But try to keep your spirits up no matter what's going on in the world.
Yeah, that was good. We ended on a good laugh. That shit was funny. Yeah.
Come on, CBS. Do better.
Charge a nigga $10 for this shit.
They got a nerve. Like, this shit is actually free.
Yes.
I don't. That's another thing. It's like, this shit never costs money. If I just had it.
Like, what conglomerate are they part of?
Viacom.
Viacom?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Who owns that?
Some of their Redstone. Some of their Redstone.
Real? For real?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a rich person name, for real. Like a rich white guy name.
Yeah.
Some of their Redstone.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of these motherfuckers.
Actually, quiet. I think it sounds like Captain America's enemy.
Yes, exactly. That's like the exact lane.
Some of their Redstone. This nigga lives in a lair. In a swamp.
He's himself. He's like a corporatist. He's a corporatist, but like he pays for Captain America to go like do some shit. But Captain America doesn't realize that he caused the problem.
Yeah, it's ethically dubious. Like he has to clean up an oil spill or some shit.
Yeah, and then he like caused oil spill. Yeah. And then that Captain America looks at the oil, and sees his reflection of shit. And
yeah,
and then he hits him, but he realizes that he's actually like made him iron, and he pulls his skin off. It's like you didn't know. Oh, God.
Find animals and shit that have been mutated by the oil spill and
shit. Just like, it's fucking... It's like mutated carp and shit. It's like... Oh! We're back, baby. Another episode. Shout out to the articles that we had to give you guys from times, and also various, there's a lot of research on that TikTok article. And both, I think both were from the Times, actually, on TikTok, and Nipsey in the Washington Post. Washington sorry. Post. Thank you for correcting me.
WAPO.
WAPO. And we'll try to be back next week, because we've missed y'all. We want to keep y'all into the loop on what we're doing.
Yeah, man.
Bye.
Yeah, that was it.